Education Committee will come to order.
My new file.
I think we counted a quorum floating around here, so all in their places with bright shining faces, we definitely will have a quorum. So Senator Nelson is going to begin with Senate File 1656.
Bringing back bad memories.
So it could be either one day.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for bringing before you Senate File 1656. I'd like to move that Senate File 1656 be recommended to pass and sent to state government.
Okay, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. 1656 actually just addresses the standards. Some of you were here in 2003 and 4 when the legislature worked so diligently to develop the standards. All this bill does is ask that as those standards are revised, that they actually once again have legislative approval. And you will see before you that is listed in lines 1.12 through 1.16. And to address a little bit about the process regarding the social study standards and their potential revision, I would like to call David O'Fallon from the Minnesota Humanities Center.
Welcome, Dr. O'Fallon.
Madam Chair, Senators, thank you very much indeed. I just have a very few comments to make on the process of the standards, but I'd also love to share with you very briefly, if I may, Madam Chair, a short paragraph from the 1920 K through 8 curriculum standards for the state of Minnesota. Just to set a flavor for the comments, if I may?
Yes.
All right. Very briefly, I share this with you because, in fact, it was my mother's. And as we moved her out of her home of some 50 years, we discovered this document. It's got her handwriting all over it. Very briefly, what shall we teach to these growing citizens of ours in order that they may make the greatest contribution to the public welfare and enjoy for themselves the highest degree of prosperity and happiness? How shall it be presented to them so as to arouse and hold the keenest interest, develop the best mental habits, and furnish the strongest grasp on worthwhile things? These are vital questions in curriculum making at all times, and particularly during a period of enormous transition, such as that which we are currently passing. This was 1920. Just thought I'd share the spirit of that because it's the spirit, I think, that drives us today to figure out exactly what we need to teach young people. Our comments on the process have to do with overall sense that there was every well-intentioned effort made to involve various parties and constituents and people, that this was made somewhat difficult by simply the timeline involved, by the voluntary nature of participation, and by the fact that there were some extensive revisions. There was quite a strong sense at one point that perhaps one discipline itself, to frankly name it, geography, had become overbalanced against some other, I think, fundamental interests such as civics, maybe certain elements of history. I think the revisions have addressed some of these. So I think that while one could comment probably for the rest of our professional lives on the standards themselves, I think the process was absolutely well-intentioned, did involve a far-reaching range of people and voices, and the product is one that I think we can certainly live with. My main concerns, frankly, would be upon the levels now of, frankly, the range of examples included in here, and then the sense of implementation, which I would like to see more, frankly, creative and engaging and encouraging in certain key areas. So those are headline comments. I'd be happy to elaborate if that would be appropriate. But the just to clarify, the Humanities Center involvement, we had a staff person involved in many of the task force meetings. And then another observation on that was that at some point, of course, a great deal of the work was done by subgroups to address issues, and a lot of that work was done online. So I think that sometimes changes the flavor of the conversation because you're online rather than in the same room with each other. So,
Dr. O'Fallon, I think you were not at the Humanities Commission at that time, but I think that they played a more definitive role in the development of the 2004 standards than was the case with the current work.
Senator, Madam Chair, and committee members, that's true. The Humanities Center was more deeply involved in the development and the iteration of those standards than we were at this time. Our involvement was invited a little bit late, and we were a little bit less involved at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Do you have further comments?
I do not.
Okay. Are there any questions? Further questions you have of Dr. O'Fallon? Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do not have a copy of the bill. Do we have a bill before us? It's in the agenda. It says Senate File 1073.
No, 1656.
1656.
We're on the second bill.
Yep. Sorry. Thank you, thank you.
And the humanity, there should be a copy. Is it in there? In their packet of the 1073, I don't know. the note from the Humanities Center as well, or Center, excuse me.
I do.
Kind of reinforce some of the statements that Dr. Fallon has made.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? If not, we'll. I think you have another yes. commitment, so we will release you and. Go on with some of our further testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much.
Next, I would like to have, I think they both could come up at the same time, Debbie Daniels, political science at the University of Minnesota, and James Tracy, doctor, history professor at U of M. Come join me, please.
Madam Chair, Senators, thank you for having me. I'm Dr. Debbie Daniels. I have taught political science at the University of Minnesota and Hamline University. I'm currently an independent scholar working on a book on equality.
Thank you. Dr. Daniels, if you want to proceed with your testimony.
Yes, I was asked to review the new standards that were being proposed with the idea that the changes were going to be modest and provide greater clarity so that students and teachers would have an opportunity to implement the standards more fully. As someone who has worked with a lot of teachers and come from a family of teachers, I know there's been concerns with all the different programs that go through the school system, and they never really have a chance to fully implement what new programs come in. So the idea of greater clarity and tweaking the standards seemed very positive. Unfortunately, when I looked at the civics and government portion, instead of seeing a sort of clarity, I saw a new vagueness introduced. It took a great deal of work to make a comparison because whole sections were stripped out, such as the roots of our republic. They don't exist anymore. Discussions about the Declaration of Independence doesn't exist. The rule of law is now hidden. I called it hidden because I couldn't see it until I came to later grades with regards to the judiciary branch. Well, yes, the judiciary branch deals with law, but the rule of law is a fundamental democratic principle, which goes back to the times of the Magna Carta, which, by the way, is not in existence in the new standards. The connection between our history of the development of the freedoms of people doesn't exist. So I began then to look, okay, what is the thematic thrust of these new standards? And I found that there was contradiction. On the one hand, there is a process, or what is known as a procedural liberalism in force, which says what is most important is to teach people how to do citizenship. In other words, how to be actively engaged, which is important. But there is then that lack of substance about which they engage in. And then, in addition, there is a universalism, assuming equality, assuming freedoms, and assuming rights. Well, the Declaration does say these things are self-evident, but it's self-evident because of a long history and interconnection with other philosophical points of view and cultural facts that took place, which are not evident in the standard. So how do students ever learn about these universal principles and where and how they developed? Well, I thought maybe I'll find it elsewhere, but then here's the contradiction. There is a bias toward multiculturalism. Because instead of there being a focus on an American political culture, which is, has rich resources as well as some, you know, what we call evils of our past that we need to address, instead of looking at that, it's like, well, pick your own community and then let's speak on that. What are the symbols of your community as addressed? What does that mean? What community are they talking about? Can it be any community? It leaves it open to the teacher or the student, I'm assuming. I don't know, because this is a vagueness that is introduced into these standards. So I was left with the sense that in whatever the intention is, it wasn't addressed in terms of just the tweak to make modest changes. But the conclusion was to water down our standards, to make it easy for ideological manipulation, which I'm assuming was not the intent, and then to produce a student that actually is going to be more confused and easily manipulated than a student who is going to understand how to actively participate as a free citizen. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Daniels. Are there any questions that any of you have, Dr. Daniels? Dr. Daniels, were you involved at all? Well, you did some comparison between the current. Were you involved at all in overseeing or reviewing the previous standards?
No, I was not involved.
But you have you've done some comparison with what they are, our current standards, and what is being proposed.
That is correct.
At least what is publicly been made available to us.
Right. I looked at these as if you could call it fresh eyes. Of course, I'm aware of all the political debates in the past, but this was somebody with fresh eyes coming to look at it as an educator. What do I see?
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Then Dr. Tracy.
Yes. Senator Olson and Senators, thank you for the invitation. My name is James Tracy. As of 2 years ago, I retired as a professor of history at the University of Minnesota. I was a member of the history department for 44 years. And typically, every other year, I taught in one of the department's survey courses. I'm a European historian by trade, but the last 25 years, I taught in the World History Survey. And so over the years, I developed a sense of what students coming to the university, especially as first-year students, basically didn't know about the geography and the history of the world that we live in. And so back in 2003, when it was announced that there were new standards coming down the pike which emphasized content much more than apparently had been done previously in the profile of learning, I kind of got interested. And I participated in the public comment that went on. And I was also invited to testify before the committee in favor of the new standards. So I don't have fresh eyes in that sense. I hope my eyes are not stale, but I have seen this material before. I had not seen previously the 2011 standards, And some of us, Dr. Daniels and myself and Dr. Chuck Chalberg, who teaches American history at Normandale, got together and made a comparison between the two sets of standards. And we basically found that specifically in the areas of history as well as government, the standards proposed this past fall seemed to us seriously deficient by comparison with the standards adopted in 2004. And just to speak in general terms, I think there are three points that we kind of agreed on among ourselves. First of all, there is a significant reduction of the cognitive content of what is asked of students in the K-12 system if you compare the 2011 standards with the 2004 standards. My particular interest, of course, is world history. And if you go back to the 2004 standards, there's a very well, I think, very well thought out rationale for teaching world civilization, even at to some extent in the early grades, and a focus on the idea that the thing about world civilizations and different cultures around the world and in the past is that we all, as human beings, face the same fundamental problems. So the study of world civilizations is a study of how civilizations around the world have come to grips with these problems. World religions are important in that context as well. Well, this is largely absent, I think, from the compressed version of world history that's present in the 2011 standards. I think, at least my impression was, that students would get from a curriculum taught according to the 2011 standards not so much an appreciation for the achievements of the past, but rather a sense of the problems bequeathed to us in the past, and almost, you might say, a sense of moral superiority about living in the present. Well, that isn't, I think, exactly the purpose for which history ought to be taught. So the first observation we made is that there does seem to be a significant reduction in the cognitive content of the curriculum in the 2011 standards. Secondly, it seemed to us that this cognitive content was strikingly reduced in regard to the United States political system, how it works, and how it came to be. And I'm kind of touching, again, on some of the same points that Dr. Daniels just made. There's not a great deal about the Constitution. If I'm not mistaken, the Declaration of Independence is not mentioned. There's no sense or very little sense of the European background, the philosophical and political background from which our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence came. When Dr. O'Hanlon spoke a moment ago, reading something from this book found that belonged to his mother in 1920, I was struck by a particular phrase. The purpose then was to figure out how students could be given, quote, the strongest grasp of worthwhile things. Well, if you start with the premise that the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, what makes this country distinctive, our traditions, what binds us together as a people, those would seem to be a good example of worthwhile things on which students should have a strong grasp. And I think if you make that comparison between the 2011 and the 2004 standards, there's a striking absence of this fundamental stream of content in the 2011 curriculum. Finally, what the 2011 curriculum does have is a stress on activism, which is more consistent with traditional notions of social studies. Now, my understanding, at least, was that when the state, through the legislature, adopted the 2004 standards, it was turning away from a social studies model as represented by the profiles of learning, which I'm sure some of you will know a lot more about than I do. There's also in the packet a comment from Dr. Stern of the Fordham Institute, who I think makes perhaps more extensively than we do a critique of the traditional social studies idea and an argument in favor of a more content-rich curriculum, such as is embodied in the standards for 2004. So against that, the 2011 standards have a stress on activism, and it seemed to us, too, at least in our review of the benchmarks and so forth, that the examples of activism were kind of from one side of the political spectrum. So there's some possibility of bias there. It comes down to a question of what is the basic purpose of education. There's one school of thought that says the basic purpose of education is to teach children how to become active citizens. That's kind of the social studies approach. The approach that's embodied in the 2004 standards, and which it is our hope that the legislature will choose to retain, is the idea that the purpose of education is to convey knowledge, and that this fundamental knowledge is then the foundation for active citizenship in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Tracy. Senator Torres Reid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Nelson, maybe before Senator Nelson, I'd rather ask the testifiers. I would like to hear from the testifiers. You talk a lot about, you know, kind of the standards and cognitive issues and content, compare, you know, 2004, 2011, compare the standards to activism today. You describe that. But as I read the language that is being recommended in this bill, there are two issues here. One is the specific review, the cycle of review, establishing a cycle of review, and then assigning the commissioner to come before the legislature to do that review. So how does this take care of what you just said?
Maybe I can address that.
I think it's better that you do.
As well. Senator Torres Ray, committee, I should preface that I think what has rolled out here with the social studies standards is like Exhibit A as to why we need Senate File 1656. In other words, it's very important that the legislative body be able to sit in and weigh in on these important standards, just like we did in 2004. Even though I was in the other body at that time, I do remember the incredible amount of public light and scrutiny and discussion that occurred around those standards in 2004. So it's very important that simply, you're correct, this bill is very simple in the fact that it merely says we need to have that same latitude and that same ability to weigh in, to actually approve the standards that are before us now. Now we have the 2011, which should have been maybe a revision to social studies standards, but from the testimony, what we're hearing is that it's a lot more than revision. They're totally different standards. And so we don't want to unilaterally allow a commissioner or a department to just unilaterally accept those standards. That's truly the role of the legislature. And so this bill is about maintaining our legislative responsibility and role in standards, those things that are so important to our students' academic achievement.
Follow-up.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Nelson. You know, part of, I understand, you know, your desire and your preference to have us review it. I think what I don't hear from the testifiers is it's kind of the value of it. So I understand kind of the transformation that took place, and I understand your concern about it. But there is not a proposal or the law itself that we're proposing here is simply saying, well, in order to remedy this lack of a good process to get from A to B, we put legislators on board. We're not providing a substantive element of review, academic review, to the process. We're just saying, now you all get to do this. And to me, that's not a solution. We have perhaps here a difference of opinion. We have a responsibility, and I completely agree with you, Senator Nelson, that we do have a responsibility to review it. Yet the review itself will not change necessarily the process unless we describe a process that is more academically driven, that takes into account what the testifiers just described to us, right? That's what is not here, or at least that's what you're arguing, that is not here, and therefore you want to intervene. So I think that I'm kind of confused about our intervention to do what other than just take the commissioner out, and as you said, so she doesn't have a unilateral decision, but we do have a decision with her, but this is about process. It's not, you know, bringing people to the table, I think, is what you're saying, but I'm not sure.
Senator Torres Ray, I believe, were you involved, has the review that you have done, which is pretty thorough going through the standards, has that been conveyed to the department?
No, it has not.
It has not yet?
No.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe they've released their final standards, so I don't know what's coming, but it would seem to me that is, it has been forwarded on. I guess we have sent that down. You've sent it to us, and we've sent it on.
Yes, we have not ourselves had contact with the department.
I think the idea of review is not that we're going to sit here at the table and review every single standard, but that some of the experts in these fields could review for us the ramifications, the direction that we were going in terms of achieving high standards, and we didn't get some really high marks as we might have liked, even on the 2004 standards. There's some more work that could be done, and it would have been nice to see that enhanced and strengthened rather than kind of change directions. And I think that's what I hear you saying.
Yes, very much so. It does seem to us, and Dr. Daniels made this point as well, that the 2011 standards are a very different set of standards than those adopted in 2004, and they really do point K-12 education in a different direction. And if I may respond briefly to Senator Torres Ray, we were operating with perhaps, a simplified understanding of legislative procedure. We were assuming that at some point it would come before the legislature whether the standards of 2004 would be adopted, perhaps with some revision, or whether they would be replaced by the standards proposed this past fall. And our basic assessment is that that would be a great mistake for K-12 education. If things are reduced to that simple decision, whether to go with 2004, perhaps with some revision, or to replace 2004 with 2011, we think replacing it with 2011 would be a big mistake.
Senator Bono.
Madam Chair, I think what I heard Senator Torres Ray saying is that while she doesn't even necessarily disagree with Senator Nelson, that what we're looking for is a data-driven kind of research-based process so that there's some comfort that it won't be subject to the whim of who gets elected, whether it's, you know, this majority or then let's say it's a different majority, so that we can trust that not only do we have oversight in the legislature, which I agree, Senator Nelson, we should have. I don't think that we should be left out of that process, but I also would like to believe that there is a formal, data-driven way in which we can at least be given all the information so that we have something, you know, other than he said, she said, to make our decisions. And you have brought us testifiers who are very well schooled, but what if the next person in your chair doesn't pick the right people to come and bring us testifiers? So that's one thing. And then the second thing is I noticed the people from the department were shaking their heads about they had seen this, they hadn't seen that, and so I wondered if we could get their comments with regard to this before
us. We will
thank
get
you.
That opportunity.
And Madam Chair, just
Nelson.
To clarify, you've really gone beyond the scope of this bill, actually, and I think both Senator Torres Ray and Senator Bonoff have pointed out, again, the necessary nature of Senate File 1656. It merely states that those standards need to have legislative approval, and that's what this bill is asking for. I'm not diagramming how that all should play out. I'm just saying let's take the first step, and let's make sure that we weigh in on these standards, that we do not want them unilaterally adopted. So very simple. But thank you for making my point.
Are there any other questions? Other testifiers? Okay. We've asked for some response from the department. Thank you very much for being here. Mr. McHenry.
Madam Chair, committee members, appreciate the opportunity to be here, and want to thank Senator Nelson for bringing forward a bill to have a discussion on the importance of our high-quality standards. It's always a great discussion to have that, so I appreciate that. I'm sorry, did I say my name for the record? Kevin McHenry from the Department of Education. I do want to point out that the department does have concerns with this specific bill. A couple things I just want to make sure that are clear is that I came up here to testify specifically on this bill. If there is to be a discussion, or if you want a more thorough discussion on the social study standards and the implementation process and who all was involved in that and what has gone on, we're more than happy to have that discussion. We can bring our director of academic standards to go through that. Obviously, this is a topic that everybody has feelings for, and they want to see some they want to see quality work done, and I think that our director of academic services could help provide an overview of how that process has worked, who has been included, and provide some details maybe in response to some of the testifiers here, as well as what has gone on in that. But what I'd like to do is take a time to speak specifically about this bill, and I just wanted to be clear that the comment that the standards have been given out in a unilateral process, I just want to be clear from the department perspective is that this is the standards go through a committee process. It is not unilaterally acted on by one person. I'll take a chance to walk through how the process works. There's a multi-stage standards review process which was developed in guidance with ACHIEVE and the American Diploma Project, and it has successfully produced revised standards in mathematics, the arts, science, and the English language arts. The process extensively utilizes standards committee's expertise, public feedback, and expert guidance in a thoughtful, transparent manner. A couple areas I do want to point out that I'm sure that you're all interested, guided by statute 120B.02, gives guidance to the commissioner to adopt rules to adopt rigorous statewide academic standards. And further, legislative requirements for the development of standards are specified in 120B.021 subdivision 2. And what those outline, the development directions to the commissioner regarding stakeholder engagement, asked for a committee to be set up that would include parents, it includes teachers, it includes school boards, it includes post-secondary faculty members, and it also includes members from the business community. And the standards must be clear, concise, objective, measurable, and grade level appropriate. It does not require a specific teaching methodology or curriculum, and it has to be consistent with the U.S. and the Minnesota Constitution. If you'd like, I could take some time and go through kind of how the process, like how the committee works, to detail some of that, if that would be helpful to the committee.
Well, I think, Mr. McHenry, one of the concerns I think that's been raised in the review is, and there are others in your packet, too, that I think were involved in reviewing the 2004 as well as this one, and I think are purely unbiased from the standpoint of perspective, but wanting to see us be working toward, you know, correcting some of the weaknesses of the last one, and I think there's some issue here as to whether the revise means rewrite, and I think there's a sense of communication that there's quite a bit of this that is really being rewritten to move in a different direction rather than what you might think of as a revision. And I think we've been whipsawed, and our schools have been whipsawed for a long time as we keep changing substantially, and then therefore if there's testing that follows this, I don't know that we've developed that sophisticated testing in it, then we've got the cost of developing that all anew rather than looking at how this would enhance. And I've had some concerns about, as I read through some of these things, is that the reaction of people, especially since you know, the department is taking a stance with charter schools that they have to teach to every single benchmark. When you've got benchmarks that are inconsistent with somebody else's view of life within our public school system, with their families, they may not like that. And if they choose an alternative, like wanting to go to a charter school, we're talking about imposing things that may be believed to be indoctrination that are going to drive some of our people away from our public schools. And that's not our intent. We want to have strong public education that is meaningful in terms of the background, the knowledge. Yes, there's skills involved, but the knowledge that they receive. And I think that's part that concerns me. If there's going to be an effort to try to control everything so that whatever is built into these benchmarks and standards then becomes almost the rule of law for everybody that's being taught. And that's inconsistent with the direction that we've been going for many years of having some choices. And I know Senator Stumpf and I have been commiserating on, you know, the areas of in career and tech that we've maybe gotten too prescriptive on exactly how that has to be shaped, and we're getting in the way of young people catching some fire that involves a different approach and a different mix of some of the academic areas in order to proceed. And so, I mean, I've been kind of looking at a bigger picture here, and this has kind of been the first one that has stirred that, because it happens to be in an area where you probably have a little bit more, quote, views and ideology or philosophies that are affected than perhaps just math and reading. I mean, there's you know, beliefs there, too, in terms of how they best be taught, and we've been through enough of that. But that's the concern that we have. It isn't just the process, but the process feeds that. The process and the actors that you have. So I'm sorry I'm lecturing you, but I think you need to, you know, I'm being honest as to what the concerns are that I have.
And Madam Chair, committee members, I definitely appreciate the guidance and your words. I just to get to the specific details on the social studies standards, if that's what we're looking at, I think it would be a good idea that we could have our director come in and talk to you all to give a more robust discussion on the intricacies of how that committee worked. I think the idea is they do want to keep an open process. Mm-hmm. They do want to hear from a variety of people. And if you look at our stakeholder group and reaching out to the public, that's exactly what they're trying to do. So you do, you know, you do get different ideas that do come forward, but that's from a this stakeholder group that is working towards providing the best standards, and not everybody's always going to agree. I definitely get that. To say that this, you know, but I think I want to be clear is that this is coming forward from a process that is involving the public. It's involving some professionals. It's involving. It allows several steps for when the public can participate, and that if we're specifically talking about just certain standards, and in this case the social studies standards, I think that's something that we can have a larger discussion on. But I do want to make sure that it's clear that this has always been an open process for this standard process, and it's been in we've used in the past for the last since the math standards in 2007.
Is the commissioner given this group of stakeholders any direction that would change the essentials of the current standards when you talk about revising that actually it was wide open to go in and rewrite, change direction, you know, all of the things that seem to be have been coming through those who have analyzed these and would like to see us, you know, strengthen and enhance them, mm-hmm. and have more specific tools that are a part of those benchmarks that are effective for teachers to use to be effective in reaching them.
Madam Chair, committee members, the commissioner, or Commissioner Caselius, respects the process that was set up. I believe the way that it was set up is that there are assumptions that were put that are put forward by the commissioner, as well as the stakeholder group appointed. I want to say that was in January. I can go back to determine when exactly that was, but I believe it was before she was appointed commissioner. And this has been a process that she firmly entrusts with those involved in the process. And this has been a process that she has not been involved in at all. The only, I think her only role in this is when the, is to thank the committee members or the stakeholder group for participating in doing this. And in the end, when the standards, from what I understand, were just unanimously approved by the work group, they get forwarded to the commissioner. Just for her review at the end, but she has not been part of any process. She has not, other than to thank them for participating, and has been very respectful of the process.
Was a part of the assignment of that stakeholder group to identify what they believed was errant or wrong with the current standards? Do they have any rationale as to why they, you know, should be changed and changed in a fairly drastic way?
Madam Chair, committee members, that's something that I don't know right off the top of my head. What I could do is that if you do want to have a more robust discussion on the specific on the specific process, that's something that we can bring our director who facilitated the stakeholder group and can answer the specific questions about the social study standards.
Well, you know, it's okay to hear about the process, but we're about outcomes. And we're about results, mm-hmm. And I don't know if these standard the current standards have been difficult to teach to, that young people haven't learned or haven't gotten a grounding, and if so, what do we do to strengthen that, or is it, you know, because this is quite a significant change, and it seems to be leading us back into an approach that, what was it, a decade that we had of struggle? Because people were very, very unhappy with what was going on, and that was a very public kind of disagreement and challenge. And I don't think anybody, I'm going to be leaving at the end of this year, but I wouldn't like to leave this body with their hands full of another decade of that kind of a conflict. I think these areas are significant and important in terms of young people's learning and teachers' creativity in teaching, and we just have got to stop this jerking back and forth. That's why I think it has surprised us when we've seen that they are not necessarily revising and strengthening the foundation of the standards, which was a legislative direction, mm-hmm. And going a different direction. I think that's what drives, I think, Senator Nelson's bill, is that we do have some responsibility to the public that we hear from, that we need to act on. We're not going to sit here and write them all, but we do want to see that they are following what the feedback that we've gotten from experts that have examined these, the successes. I mean, there's other states that have gotten very good marks, apparently are being very successful. Have we looked at those and seen what we could draw from them to strengthen what we have? Those are things that I would like to know if they were given any consideration in the process of this revision. Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't think we should act on this bill today, just because I would like to hear from the department with more information as to why it got changed, how it got changed, and what the process was, and did we entrust them with the process, and did they do what we asked them to do? I think I'm on the same page as Senator Torres-Ray with this bill, from the standpoint that what would happen if a standard came back to us for approval is that we would end up rewriting the standard in this committee, and it might get real political, and I think that's one of the things we don't want to see happen, and I think that's what Senator Torres Ray was concerned about in her question, is that maybe what this bill needs to do is to provide direction as to what the legislature should do if a standard does come back to us for approval. Mm-hmm. I think what this does is it leaves it wide open and says, okay, have at it. If you don't like it, rewrite it. And I think I don't know that I want to do that. I don't know if everybody else here does, but I don't feel like I could certainly take votes on a lot of things, but I'm not sure that votes would be the right ones, or they would be politically motivated, or how they would, or how it would go about. And I think that probably what the department did was had a bunch of experts together that came up with some kind of a standard. Now the two testifiers found some things that they didn't like. I would like to find out why this got to where it is, and whether or not what we heard from the testifiers is accurate, or if they missed something, and maybe there's something in there that does cover what they are concerned about, and maybe we just didn't see it. So if it would please the chair, I think we should have a little more testimony on this particular bill before we
Thank
act
you.
On it.
Point well taken, Senator Tomasoni. From the reviews, if you haven't had a chance to look at them, I think there's been an overt attempt to saying that there's things that are buried that should be exposed. You know, it's warts and all that have gone on through history that are a part of understanding what's gone on and brought us to today. I think in your packet too is from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Look at the grades on civil rights issues for these standards.
I'm not taking issue with them, Madam Chair.
They're F at every single one.
Madam Chair, I'm not taking issue with.
So I mean, it's you know, leaning one way or the other. It's there's some definite things missing that a lot of people have got concerns about.
But I think we should find out from the people who wrote them why they ended up the way they did, and mm-hmm. if.
I don't disagree. Okay. Don't disagree, Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I guess I remember in 2004 when we did this. I remember in 2003 when we changed and did away with the old profile of learning. And I think there's been a history of dealing with social studies topics that has, with due respect to Senator Tomasoni, it's hard to avoid the political aspect of it because there are people that have differing views on what's important and what's pertinent and what should be taught, and maybe more so, as you pointed out, in the history area than you would find perhaps in math or science. And I guess my concern is that if there's going to be a wholesale rewriting of standards, then we ought to do what we did in 2004, which have those standards be submitted to the committee. We can discuss them, we can hear about them, and we did that in 2004. There was a whole process that went on across the state with all kinds of people involved. It was very public, and it went on for quite a while, and then this document came back, and we had a long discussion in this committee about it, and then we took a vote, and we adopted those standards, and then we passed a bill that instructed the commissioner to put those into place. And I think that to say, well, do you want to do that every time you revise standards? No. But if you're revising things in a way that changed the meaning of the word revise to rewrite, then I think it's fair that they should be subjected to the same sort of scrutiny that we did in 2004, which is bring them here, let people look at them, let people ask questions, let people who wrote the standards come in and explain why they did and what they did and have the discussion. And I think that's what Senator Nelson's bill does. So if you're going to do that, then bring them here and let's do what we did in 2004 and follow that process so that the public is aware of what we're going to be teaching. I think that I have a concern that the commissioner, and you said you objected or she objected to this bill, I have a concern that the commissioner doesn't want to do that. Why is that? Why wouldn't the commissioner want to bring these standards to this committee and say, I hope you approve them, and if not, tell us why, rather than say, well, we're going to go out and implement them, and that's how we're going to do it. Why wouldn't she want to come here, bring these changes to this committee, and ask for, before implementing them, our approval? I don't understand that. Can you explain what the heart of the resistance to this bill would be?
Mr. McHenry.
Madam Chair, Senator Hand, appreciate the question. The objection to the bill is that the process has been set up, it has been in place, and it has been successful. for implementing the standards since 2007. While you are correct, I think the social studies standards do tend to be a little bit more controversial due to just the topic, that the process has been successful in including the public, has gone statewide, has involved several people. Everybody has a chance to be involved in it. Like I say, these have been just unanimously approved by the stakeholders group. They should be public soon from that, and that's when I think everybody will have a chance to see what the final standards are. I don't have those myself right now, but what I do want to make sure to be to go back on is that this is respecting the legislative process that identifies how to develop standards, and this has been followed. The committee process has been followed. The committee process is the stakeholders that develop these standards, the parents, the teachers, the school board members, the faculty members, and the business community that took part in the process to develop these standards. And so those are the people who developed the standards and presented those to the commissioner.
Well, this discussion, again, has been very enlightening, and what it shows is that we all know how important it is that we have strong standards and that we have kids who graduate ready for college and career. And, again, I just want to refer the committee to the lines in this bill. It's kind of it is very simple. If you want to distill it from four lines down to two, look at line 1.15 and 1.16. You all have made the case very clearly that the legislature needs to give specific authority before the commissioner or a department can just adopt, rewrite standards. That is all we're asking. I apologize if it got into the whole field of the social studies standards. That is truly beyond the scope of this bill. This bill is to allow us, to allow legislators, to do what we were asked to do in 2004, which is to approve the standards before the commissioner can adopt them. It is very simple, and certainly there's more that we can do on this bill. But basically, I'm just asking that we do our legislative due diligence here and be able to approve these standards before we give the commissioner ability to just adopt them without legislative approval.
Well, Madam Chair.
I think that Senator Chamberlain was next, and then I'll get back to you, Senator Tomasoni. Senator Chamberlain?
Madam Chair, just kind of a summary of all this. I guess I'll start at the end. If we give exclusive right to the department and the board and the process, what would be too extreme for them to develop? I mean, we could be silly, but we don't need silly examples. And would there be a limit to that? And I know that the folks who elected all of us, we are responsible to them, as you are yourself and the commissioner, to all the citizens, and not simply to a handful of selected experts. I think there are a lot of smart people here, and I think collectively the citizens of the state are pretty smart. And I think that final decision, as Senator Hand has mentioned, on a complete rewriting of any standards should be left to this body to review and to give final authority. I think Senator Nelson's bill is pretty simple and straightforward, and it really surprises me that the department would have a problem with this. If they believe in their standards, if they believe in what they've got, then all those folks can come forward and make their case and prove it to the citizens of the state that those standards are legitimate. And in closing, Madam Chair, I would hope we do act on this bill today. It's not, may I say, rocket science. This is pretty straightforward. It addresses a problem. It doesn't say we will rewrite the standards. It simply says we will have oversight on those standards, as we should.
Thank you. Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is for Mr. McHenry, but I'm not sure. Whoever knows the answer to this can tell me. I'm looking on page 2 of the bill, and subdivision C, D, E, and F all set out timelines for different standards to be revised. And so I'm, and the first one's in 2007, 2008, the second one's in 2008, 2009, 2009, 2010, and then social studies in 2010 and 2011. And I see that there's different implementation dates also, but is social studies the only one that has brought up the question of how to do this, or is have all of these been under in question? Or what? I mean, I don't exactly know what has happened here.
Well, Senator Tomasoni, there was definitely some concern that the previous commissioner, when doing the language arts, just substituted the Common Core. And so we take the Common Core standards that are the Governor's Association and have backed of kind of essentially being national standards, but kind of put together by states working together. And you know, we've had a fair number of discussions on that subject as to whether we want national standards or to participate. And so we're, if you see, we're one of the states with kind of crosshatch that had kind of put a kibosh on going further with that. The language arts, it's done. But math standards, there's been contention even among the stakeholders that we already have stronger and better math standards that fit the way in which our standards are constructed and didn't want to go along with the Common Core. So there's been, it's taken a different tack based on what all we're coping with. But I think that the legislature has, for a number of years, been, excuse me, pretty consistent in believing that we should be paying attention to what those standards are and what is, in fact, being taught because of what we went through for a long period of time.
I understand, but based on these years of when the revisions are supposed to happen, it sounds like every single time it happens, it's controversial when there's a revision.
There's been some evidence of that, and that's why I believe, you know, there was some teeth grinding over the commissioner just being able to implement the...
Your commissioner?
Yeah, the previous commissioner.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's implement the Common Core and without necessarily legislative oversight or approval. And so we've discussed this. This was part of a policy bill that was rejected by the current commissioner now last year of the legislative oversight or not being able to go ahead with Common Core without legislative approval. And this isn't going to go away real easily. So I somehow whether this alone is going to deal with it or whether we need more information to assure what path we take, but Senator Nelson's bill at least it gets at the heart of it, is that before they get implemented that the legislature should have some say in this and give approval. Senator Nelson.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And just a comment to that, truly, all the discussion that we've had today really does point to the need for this bill. And I will just point out that for those who might not know, the comments about the previous commissioner and the current commissioner, you know, that's a bipartisan issue. There's nothing partisan about this bill at all, nor about the concern that the legislature should grant the commissioner the ability to approve those standards. That should not be done out of the legislative purview. And I did forget something I always do, which is mention my co-authors. Just so you know, I want to thank Senator Olson, Senator Michelle, and Senator Harrington for sponsoring this bill. So I just want to kind of throw that out there. I know there's a lot of partisan things in this building. We don't like them. I want to assure you this is not. This is about legislative approval resting with the legislature, not just a committee. And I think you've all made that point very clear today.
I think Senator Wieger is next.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. It's a question perhaps of Senator Nelson or of counsel. At 1.16 for the legislative authority, you're talking about approval by the House and the Senate, but not necessarily going any further. So that gubernatorial approval or veto would be moot. It would be approval by the House and Senate regardless of which party is in control. And is that your intent?
I'm going to defer to counsel, actually, on that.
Madam Chair, members, it just says legislative authority. It doesn't really specify how you do it, but it obviously doesn't refer to any gubernatorial approval of that legislative action.
So Madam Chair and members, though there's the concern that there not be anything partisan, it clearly could be. Could you stipulate to that?
There's nothing partisan about having the legislature do its legislative oversight just like it did in 2004 and give specific legislative authority for the adoption of standards. I think every one of us that's concerned about education would not want to relinquish our responsibility. I think you've kind of made my point.
I think it would be helpful. I wasn't on Senator Kelly's committee. I know some of you were that did that, and I know it took a great deal of time, and perhaps that's the appetite of the committee to meet year-round potentially or to roll its sleeves up and develop a product. But I think it might be helpful to have dialogue with the commissioner and former Commissioner Segrin to talk about, you get a couple of perspectives and then maybe some suggestions where maybe a representative of the majority and minority in each body could be a part of that process of standard revision. Just a suggestion.
Okay. Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question and a comment. Senator Nelson, did you call the staff that is in charge of doing this process to be here so that they can explain to us how this works?
Madam Chair? Madam Chair?
Senator Nelson.
Senator Torres-Ray, that is not my job. But what I do know is all bills are posted, and I know that's part of your job. That's why you're here today. And so I do think, the department certainly has had ample notice to weigh in on this. I think that's why Mr. McHenry is here. And, again, I am kind of shocked to think that anyone at this table would not want to have legislative approval. I mean, because of all the reasons we've mentioned, I think the longer this hearing goes on, the more we see how important it is that there is legislative oversight and legislative approval. But to specifically calling up different people in the department and asking them to attend, I did not do that. I certainly relied on Mr. McHenry.
Thank you,
to do that.
Madam Chair. I know Mr. McHenry doesn't work.
Allow me, our committee administrator did make that request of the department to have somebody that was working in this revision. He did that yesterday.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just to follow up on this, Mr. McHenry does not work in this division, and it's not his job to convene these meetings to have the reviews. Just a clarification. And Senator Nelson, I, for the record, I know that I'm not going to change your mind, and I know that I will not get one vote for your caucus today. That has not happened, and I know that I'm not going to get it. But for the record, I'm going to be very clear on this. This discussion is not about the idea of our participation in the process of review. I welcome it, and that's the reason I am in this committee. This is about the language that you use to get to a place. That's what this discussion is about. And it is clear to me that the language that you use to get to that place is not effective. It's not effective because you have said time and time again in our business committee that we need to get government out of the lives of people. Here, we're doing exactly the opposite. We're putting ourselves in that place. So we have a different standard for education. So this is not about my responsibility to participate in this discussion and be responsible for the outcome. It is not about that. It is that we have a process in place that takes years to put in place, to review, to bring expertise that I do not have. And your language is incredibly strong in this bill. This is not simple language. Listen to what you're saying. Must not proceed to finally adopt revised and realigned academic standards. revised. They are revised already, and she or he, the commissioner, must not move to adopt it. They have been revised, and you're saying must not. That is emphatic language that said you can't, but under any circumstance, do it without first receiving a specific legislative authority. This language is very specific, Senator Nelson. This language is to tell the commissioner that she cannot do her work without us. This is what this language is about. It's not about me being irresponsible and not wanting to be here. And I would have loved to see here language that really speaks to the core issue that you're talking about. That I agree with you. I completely agree with you. We have to have scrutiny, and you totally, totally said that, and I agree with it. We need to have expertise. We need to guide our decisions by research. The department needs to do that, and this language does not say that. This language says you do not do that without asking for our permission. You are not saying you must include scrutiny, expertise, thorough review based on research. None of that language is in here, Senator Nelson. You're only saying you come here and tell us what to do. That is a different language, and I just want to leave it for the record because I'm not saying the same thing that you're saying, Senator. This is a very specific language, and I want to leave it on the record for all of you to vote on it because that's what this language said. You come here, and you tell us what you're doing, and we will see if we give you permission. And fortunately, it's going to be driven by politics, Madam Chair and Senators. That is going to be driven by politics because we do not have the expertise. Madam Chair, I have a great deal of respect for you and your background, and you do have the expertise, and I follow your guidance. But believe me, it's going to take a long time for me to get the expertise that you have. And I do not believe that all of us have the expertise that these groups have. That's my concern with respect to this language.
Well, Senator Torres-Ree, I must have you fooled with this expertise that you are giving me, but I think it boils down to the responsibility we have. We are elected, and we've been through this standards debate and the expectations of what is the outcome and the results that we want from the education and the investment we're making in kids' lives. And this we've turned over, and the language here just is to revise and realign. But right now, the commissioner can just go ahead and do whatever she wants to do, and adopt it, and it's done. And if it is in fact as we've been. Are the reviews that have been done of the current draft that we have public is going backwards instead of forward, instead of fleshing out and making a more consistent package of standards and benchmarks that are really useful for teachers and improving what's there, they've made some wholesale changes. That we will end up taking the brunt for, because we've got the election certificate, and we've authorized that, and I think this is just saying, we accept that we've got some responsibility, and it should come back to us, so that if that work has been done in that process and it appears to have strengthened the standards that have gone through that rigor in the past, we're not just shoving off that, letting it go on automatic pilot, but we are accepting that responsibility. So I see it a little different than you're portraying it right now, and I don't think we should get to this fact that somehow we're trying to turn this into some partisan struggle, because it isn't meant to be that. But Senator Sieben has been waiting.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I have a question about the mechanics of the legislation, Senator Nelson. So in reviewing the current language that's in statute, for instance, on line on the second page on line 2.29, it says that the commissioner in the 2010-2011 school year must revise and align the state's academic standards and high school graduation requirements in social studies, and on and on. It doesn't say in the current statute or in the current statute that it needs to come back to the legislature for formal adoption or before it's formally adopted. And perhaps some legislative history would be helpful. When the current language was implemented, I assume that the legislature was giving the commissioner the authority to do what it sounds like she has now set up a process to do. So, in effect, your language is saying that we must give her or the commissioner that legislative authority to review and align the standards, and that's what she's doing. So it seems like the new language that you're adding is inconsistent with what's currently in statute, and that's what I'm looking for clarification on.
Madam Chair.
Senator Nelson.
Yes. Well, actually, I don't know if you're saying there needs to be additional language that has been struck, but what this language does is bring it to the legislature, as it was when it was originally adopted in 2004.
Senator Nelson, what I'm asking is the current legislation or the current statutes say that the commissioner shall revise and align the state's academic standards as it relates to social studies, and she's now doing that. And so your new language is saying then that she must first receive specific legislative authority to do so, which it looks like we've already given her.
Oh, Madam Chair.
Senator Nelson.
I think the word is adopt. So if you look on 1.15, we're not saying that she has to have specific legislative authority to review.
Right.
The new language says in order to adopt. So it's a matter of adoption of those standards.
So, Madam Chair and Senator Nelson, then
Senator Stephen,
your language would apply, obviously, for all academic standards and graduation requirements, and essentially
just adoption.
Politicize in some way, in some regard. You could see
just
how
adoption.
Then, I guess then, what's the scope of what the legislative authority you're looking for? So before any, maybe again, I need some more background on the history, but before anything is formally adopted, how do you envision this would work? The proposal would come before the legislature, and we as a committee could take out or add or subtract any tenant of it that we think is included or is not included, and we as a legislature should have formal review over that process to be able to realign.
Can I just respond? I appreciate, Senator Sieben, what you were saying in terms of the action that we would take in that adoption. But it's not the intent to politicize. If in fact there's the controversial things that do come back, there's nothing that would stop us from saying, Commissioner, there's some areas that the feedback we're getting are causing some trouble, and we'd like you to straighten those out before they're adopted. It doesn't necessarily mean that the legislature has to rewrite all of this. If in fact there's some fields within education that I think do have more potential for that disagreement that may in fact be political, you're building an argument. Maybe parental choice is the answer. Is that so they don't have to, if parents are not comfortable with what we've just given authority to blanketly adopt based on who's commissioner and who she selects or he selects to work on the the stakeholders who put these together and has complete authority to adopt them and put them in place, where do they go? And many people want to stay and want to believe in their public schools. And I don't see this as any more than trying to assure that we have a balanced of people with different perspectives having a look at these standards before they in fact go into effect, because that's not, we don't want to go the direction of this blowing up politically. It's just the opposite of it. And so what Senator Nelson is proposing is a principle here, and you're right, it does apply to all of them. The social studies happens to be on the docket right now, and that's been used as an illustration as to why we may well have to have a look. That I don't know what's going to come out finally within the next week or so, but if that comes out and becomes controversial, do you want to have to take all that because we just let it go?
Well, Madam Chair, perhaps my response would be that perhaps then what should be examined is who gets what authority the commissioner has to set up the panel of who's on the committees that decide these standards. So in other words, how do we remove it a little bit more from a legislative process that can get very politicized, and I think most of us here don't want to see that happen, but also answer some of your concerns, where how do we ensure then that the stakeholders that are involved represent various interests so that everyone can be more comfortable with the revised provisions that come forward.
Senator Hand, was he next on that? Senator Thomas, 22, well, once. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to go back and revisit the comment that Senator Wieger made and asked counsel, and I don't know if she's doing research on that question or not, but with respect to the legislative authority phrase in line 1.16, I was just curious to know, I took that to mean that there'd be some bill that would be passed that would say these standards, whatever they are, would be adopted, and we'd pass that bill, and I would assume that would imply the governor would have to sign the bill. And that was what I thought you meant by that, and I'm just asking the question, is there any other way for the legislature to give authority to act unless we pass a bill? And there was a question raised by Senator Wieger about what constitutes legislative authority, and I guess I was under the impression that our authority rests in passing laws that are and don't have any effect unless the governor signs those laws. Is there another way to do it?
Madam Chair, members, I kind of came up with some language that maybe would clarify that and saying that legislation needs to be enacted. I don't know if you want to hear that now or what. And I kind of have a question or answer to the who needs to be on the stakeholder committee, too. That's in current law, and I can give that to the Senator, too. But do you want to hear the language? Okay. Madam Chair, members, if you look at then Senator Nelson's bill, changing some language on page line 1.14, it's at the end it says but must. I would say but may only. And then on 1.15, strike not. And then on 1.16, after the rule, insert after legislation is enacted directing the commissioner to adopt the standards or graduation requirements in rule, and then striking without first receiving specific legislative authority, blah blah blah. No. So, Madam Chair, if you want me, I can reread the sentence without doing the page line. So starting on 1.14, it would, after the comma, it would read, but may only proceed to finally adopt revised and realigned academic standards and graduation requirements in rule after legislation is enacted directing the commissioner to adopt the standards or graduation requirements in rule.
So graduation requirements are usually in rule. Are the standards in
statute
rule?
At that standards?
Madam Chair, the graduation requirements are actually in statute.
The graduation requirements are in statute.
Right, but this is the language that was here, so I
you're
kept
putting
that.
In that those would go to rules, rulemaking.
The process.
Mr. McHenry.
Madam Chair, committee members, just one thing to add to the process. Sorry to say add to the process here, but after I think what there might be a little bit of confusion as to how this is getting what the commissioner's role is in this. After the committee presents this, after they have voted on it, all the commissioner does is that she signs and moves on that these were approved. then the standards go through the rulemaking process. So on this, depending on how you're looking at amending it, I don't know if you're trying to do, because here it's, I think the amendment said to adopt the standards and then through rulemaking process, the commissioner, by signing after the stakeholders come off, the standards go through the rulemaking process. So I didn't know if there was the intention to have the intent before the rulemaking process or after. I would assume it would be before the rulemaking process. But.
Well, I think it's bringing the legislatures to part of it because the governor does have to sign off on that going to rulemaking process. And, in fact, even after they're gone through a rulemaking process, the governor has to approve it before they go into effect. So, Senator Nelson?
Madam Chair and committee members, the first part of the amendment, or the proposed amendment, the proposed language, I think really clears that up. The second part on line 16 has left me wondering a little bit. And what I want to make sure is that we as elected officials still have the ability to grant that authority for the adoption of new standards. So just sending it to rulemaking, I don't think actually achieves that goal. Did I understand what you were saying correctly?
Madam Chair, members, the language, the language would require the legislature or and the governor to enact the legislation to send it to rulemaking. So
okay.
She couldn't start, or a commissioner couldn't start any the rulemaking until they got the legislature's authority by the or the enacted okay. legislation.
Madam Chair, thank you. That does clarify okay. then. So the legislature would still be able to grant that authority. Very good. Madam Chair, I would certainly be willing to offer that amendment to further clarify the language and address some of those concerns.
So Senator Nelson moves the language that's presented by the council. Any discussion? Senator Wicker.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Question, would there be two rulemaking processes then prior to going to the legislature and then after enacted?
No.
So, Madam Chair, what the commissioner, and apparently it's not too much of a hands-on process, it's to think, the various stakeholders are involved, but that would be a recommendation then that would come to the legislature. There would be no rulemaking or further vetting of that proposal by the various groups.
It would after our approval.
After the legislature.
It would still go, it still have to be put in rule.
But that we would not have that type process prior to going to the legislature. I believe is what has been done now.
Anne-Marie? Madam Chair, members, The language here doesn't take away that stakeholder process. It just right. changes when the rulemaking starts. But the stakeholder process is not the rulemaking process.
Madam Chair, maybe I shouldn't be reading this book, but let me just read something and maybe council can help me and tell me what this says. But it says Subdivision 3 rulemaking. After the rules authorized under this subdivision are initially adopted, the commissioner may not amend or repeal these rules, nor adopt new rules on the same topic without specific legislative authorization. Is it already in law that we have to authorize the rules? I don't know.
Madam Chair, members, that language there is for the initial, and then the commissioner can't go through and review or revise any rules. They have to go based on the schedule that's part of that's in the existing law that tells what years the commissioner looks at which standards. So that's where the legislative authority there is directed to, is saying that only in these years can the commissioner look at these particular academic standards.
Hmm.
Senator Hamm, or well, should we, let's vote on this amendment.
Yes, I have moved the adoption of the amendment as read by council.
Okay. And you understand the amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. So, Senator Nelson.
Madam Chair, I appreciate the assistance from the committee. I think that shows actually the beauty of the committee process, so I want to thank you for that. And I just want to refer briefly to Senator Torres Ray's comments about government and getting government out of business, so to speak, from our jobs committee. Certainly that is very important, and I appreciate your acknowledgement of that. And I think Senator Olson kind of alluded to that, that government is in the business of education. We fund education. We set grad standards. We set standards, graduation requirements. So it truly does fall under our purview. It is our domain.
Senator Hand, you were... You're satisfied. Okay, then you'd like a vote on the bill.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to renew my motion that Senate File 1656 be recommended to pass and sent to State Gov.
Okay. Any further discussion? I would add that this doesn't mean that we are not going to bring MDE in for some further discussion on this subject. Okay. Senator Stump.
Thank you. I guess I'm not sure this is going to solve the issue because I think if you go back a number of years, this is kind of a revolving problem and one that is brought up not just because of political parties. I don't think this is, I think this is might be a little bit of that creeps in on the social studies end of it, but It's a problem on many fronts. You have the involvement of parents who have an interest in what their children learn. You have an involvement of teachers. You have the involvement of higher education systems. And I think the tug and pull of who wins and who loses sometimes gets kind of skewed, or the standards get kind of skewed as to who actually wins and loses in this process. And there is no perfect solution. I mean, should every child have Algebra 2? I mean, if you went out and you picked randomly, let's say 1,000 people who are successful in their lives, you wonder how many you would find that had Algebra 2. So I think this discussion is going to go on, and it would be fun. I mean, we went through it in 2004. I think Senator. Steve Kelly was chair at that time, and it was my feeling at that point when the legislation was passed, giving the commissioner the authority, it was purely out of frustration because the committee could not come to an agreement.
Thank you.
If we could have written the standards at that time, we would have, but we couldn't. And we heard testimony hour after hour after hour. And so I don't know if this will, the rulemaking process is okay, but I could go home and ask 1,000 constituents of mine, and they probably wouldn't have a clue as to what the rulemaking process is. So there's shortcomings in that process too. So I think we all have to be cognizant of the fact that we have to listen for, whose issues are being, or whose toes are being stomped on, and find out if we can kind of help in ever so, little way. And so I think the amendment that was added does really help, but I'm not sure it's going to be the end of it. Thank you.
Well, Senator Stumpf, you know that if if we got everything perfect, then we wouldn't.
We'd be out of work here.
So it's not going to happen. So I appreciate your comments because you're right. It's hard to get everybody engaged. But the part of the trouble is that when you get some of the things in place and then they discover what it is, then we hear about it. Rather than every, you know, being able to get the whole spectrum involved on the front side of it, so that we might have smooth sailing from then on.
Madam Chair,
Senator Tomasoni.
To Senator Stump's point, the clause that I just read was, I think, in 2003 law, and it was basically the same law that Senator Nelson has in front of us right now. And what came out of it was the law that we're trying to amend now because we didn't want to deal with it again. And so now we're going back to dealing with it again under this law. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens and whether or not we are sorry that we did it again to ourselves.
Senator Tomasoni, I think it's still within more of an oversight approval, not necessarily trying to get in and do the whole process ourselves.
Should we bet?
Senator Hand?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I want to comment on Senator Stump's point, which I agree with. I think you're right. We probably will review this again. And I don't think that this goes away. But I also believe that it is partly the fruit of the effort that we've been going through over the past number of years to develop uniform expectations across the entire state. There was a time when school boards made these decisions about curriculum, and there wasn't concern so much about, well, are the Eden Prairie School District social studies standards the same as Edina's or, you know, whoever's? It was just whatever the local people decided, and they went through the process that we're going through, but they did it in the local boardroom. And they got the books out, and they went through them, and they talked about them, and they argued about them, and they bought new books or whatever they did. But the effort to standardize and the effort to make everything the same, once you go down that path, I don't know that you can avoid this. Because to your point, Madam Chair, is we are going to have one curriculum standard imposed across the whole spectrum. And I think when you do that, because we're all going to be held accountable for that, it's fair for us to say, okay, we approve. Because if we don't do that formally, we're going to be assumed to have done it informally. So we might as well do it formally. And I don't know that it solves the problem, may not shorten it up, but I do think that what we have is the fruit of the effort to standardize and make things uniform across the state, and I don't know if you can get around that.
Well, Senator Nelson renews her motion that Senate File 1656 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to state government. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
I believe the motion prevails. The motion is adopted. I think we need to adjourn, so we will delay the other bills until our next schedule.
Madam Chair, I do have someone who traveled a distance to be here today. For a Senate file, it's one we've heard before. If we might be able to indulge the committee for a few moments.
Sure. Which one?
Which bill are you talking about?
I'm talking about Senate file 1073, Career Planning Path. We passed this out of committee last year. It just came back to us because of Rule 47. So basically, we just need to, I assume, pass it again.
Well, then, do you need testimony?
I don't even know if we do, except we have someone who came. Okay. Could I ask the testifier for 5 minutes?
I don't understand what you just
said. I'm wondering if, Madam Chair, if we could have 5 minutes of testimony. From
where did you bring that person?
Yes, I would like to call the president of the Governor's Workforce Development Council, Mo Amundson, who came from Rochester today to basically just refresh our memories. This is the bill we passed last year, and I understand we just need to repass it or relook at it again this year.
Could you introduce yourself for the record?
Sure. Mo Amundson. I'm the chair of the Education Committee for the Governor's Workforce Development Council.
Welcome, Ms. Amundson.
Thank you very much, Senator and Madam Chair. This bill was passed out of this committee last year. It is an opportunity for students, and it strongly encourages school districts to provide career and post-secondary planning for students. It's also already in the Minneapolis and Public School, Minneapolis St. Paul Public Schools, and known as My Life Plan and Six-Year Plan. And we want to make sure that that opportunity is extended to the rest of the state, and we would hope that because of this, we can reduce the expense of remediation so that students can look at the skill gaps that they now face, and early and often, starting in ninth grade, that they have a plan that they look at along with their parents, along with their counselors, that's reviewed annually, that helps them decide courses that they might need to take for a certain career. We don't want to box them in. We definitely don't want them to do that. In fact, we want just the opposite. We want these students to explore a lot of different careers so that they know what they need to take in high school, what their plans are, so that we can get them into family-sustaining careers or in post-secondary education. We know that students who are in remediation have way less chance of ever graduating with a degree. So we hope that you will look at this bill and agree that our students deserve this and need this opportunity.
Thank you. I think this is one of the pieces of the puzzle that Senator Stumpf and I were commiserating about earlier today, of the whole career readiness and the fact that we have put all our eggs in the academic basket, and the exposure to career opportunities so that there's some understanding as a basis for making these choices. We need to do even more, but I think this is a piece of that. And this was passed out of the committee. As committee, if you'll indulge, we could move this on, and then we'll adjourn.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator.
I have a brief comment. Yes. Senator Nelson, I'm very passionate about these issues. As I am against some things, I am totally on board with this. And I want you to know that I really, really like this bill. And you have a spot for more, for an extra co-author. I would love to co-author with you. I don't want people to think that we're going to disagree on everything and that we're going to be passionately engaged on issues that we disagree on. We're going to be passionately engaged on things that we agree, because I know that you are here because you care very deeply about our kids. And so I really like this idea, and I commend you for thinking about it. I think this will make a difference.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Senator Torres-Ray, if there's room on this bill, I hope you get on.
Okay.
So thank you so much. So I will just mention it's voluntary. It's strongly encouraged.
Sure. Senator Nelson moves that Senate File 1073 be recommended to pass and favorably reported to the Senate. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and our meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.